Hello, I'm Cynthia, and thank you for tuning in to a 1 year review. Joining me today is Julie Ng. She is the CEO and co-founder of VAS.ai. Am I right, Julie?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
What does the AI stand for?
AI actually stands for two things in our company. One, actionable insights. We want to make sure every single piece of market research that you do with us actually give you actionable insights and not just, you know, collect data for the sake of collecting it. Secondly, it definitely, we leverage the artificial intelligence technology, more specifically machine learning. So that's the two definitions of .ai over there for you.
Very interesting. And these are the two points that I would like to get further into in a second. Just allow me to do a brief introduction on VAS. VAS is an online market research company founded in 2015. One of the founders is Julie, right here with us. VAS provides consumer insights from its base of over 2 million people, correct me if I'm wrong, Julie, across the ASEAN region. So very, very happy to have you here to talk a bit more about, you know, market research, market insights. Let's start with that, you know, the VAS journey. For those of you who may not be familiar, a little bit about your background and how did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Thank you for inviting me, Cynthia. I promise that I will not make data boring. I will try to, you know, like visualize it more better for the audiences. So a little bit about me. I've been a consumer researcher for the past 5 years. So I personally have managed over 300 consumer research projects. It is not just my specialty, but my hobby as well, to help businesses uncover what we call the insights that matter. So our company actually started being a consulting company. Right now, we are actually an AI-powered consumer research platform with researcher guidance. But the origin actually started from a consulting company. So the reason why we eventually shifted to be a platform company is because when I was managing and serving my clients, I realized a lot of the research are only available to companies with bigger budget. So typically, people have the stereotype of you should only do research if you have maybe more than 30K in your pocket that has nothing to go to. That time, you should go to research. Or secondly, I have a burning problem sitting, which is perhaps my revenue is not increasing or my revenue is actually slipping. So then I need to go to find out what is wrong. Is it my product? Is it my marketing that is not attracting, right? So we find this to be rather reactive. And we look around and found that the market actually do not have an alternative, a good alternative that is allowed companies that not even have a big budget like 30K. So we spun out a platform that allowed people right now to do a research as flexible as 5,000 ringgit. So now you may ask me, what can I do with 5,000 ringgit? Okay, you'll be surprised. There's a lot of things, but I'm going to just point down the two fundamental things that you probably care about. Okay, ultimately, most, if not all, of the decision makers that we met care about two things. One, how to increase my revenue. Second, how to increase market share. So you can actually use 5K as a start to find out two things. One, you can boil down to why is your marketing effective or not? Is it effective in attracting a first-time user? Or secondly, you wanted to find out, is your product actually retaining a first-time user, or how to perhaps capture your competitors' customers. So here's a little bit of background of what we do.
What in the past, traditional market research firms, they tend to lack the flexibility and also speed necessary, especially for fast growth and nimble companies. And I think that is where your company steps in to help this, especially small, medium enterprises who may not necessarily have that big of a budget. So when they come to you, I'm just thinking from an SME's perspective, where do they start? What should they be investing in to get insights from their audience? Because data points are coming from so many different directions now. So talk to us about your thinking around that. Because traditional forms of market research, such as polls, surveys, and focus groups, may not be adequate anymore.
So you point out a very good point, right? We have data, it's like at our fingertips. Literally, I go and Google search, no one will say they lack of data. But at the same time, when you ask them, how much data do you have when you're making important decisions in your company? For example, marketing decision, product decision, they will say, I don't have enough data. So it's actually quite contradicting. Why is that happening, right? A lot of the data that we have right now is what we call secondary data. So data that perhaps you go on Google search, you perhaps will stumble upon either a paid or unpaid data that is previously being run. Now, that is useful on its own. However, a lot of times the business decision that you're trying to make, let's say, I am trying to find out if people like my product, it's pretty hard to come by a specific research that talk about this particular thing, especially if your brand is rather smaller or if your product is a little bit more niche product, right? So this is really where we come in. Our platform exists to not just make research more flexible, more affordable. Like you said, we make research data come back in real time. This is because a lot of times people use research for strategic decision. For example, what is strategic decision? You rebrand, you launch a new product development. How often do you really make all those decisions, actually? Maybe once a year, once 2 years. It's not frequent. But there's actually a lot of decisions that I perhaps am making on a bi-weekly or monthly basis. And those are decisions that, okay, how do I improve a little bit of my product? How do I improve my messaging to my audience? How do I improve my advertisements to my audience? Those are the things that I keep making the decisions. And yet, people actually, due to traditional method, are not being fast enough to return the data, or traditional method are too expensive. They have no alternative. They can't do research to back it up. So our positioning is very straightforward. You can use us for what we call the tactical decisions. Imagine a growth tool. Today, I just have 5 questions. Very simple. I just want to test, do you like my ads? Why do you not like my ads? Very simple questions like this, right? You can hop onto our platform and start researching. And within a few days or even as quick as 24 hours sometimes, we'll return you the data and you can make your tweak. So that's the difference between what we see the traditional method and our modern method, whereby we leverage technology to help us achieve.
I want to give an example of, as a user, day to day, I feel like my data is being extracted left, right, and center. Just given an example, I was at a cosmetic shop earlier to try out something that I've never tried before. And I had never Googled it. And just now, when I opened my Instagram, there you go, the advertisement for that specific product. So data is being extracted not just by companies like yours, Google, Facebook, all the likes of these social media companies. So I'm just thinking then, if these companies can do what they do, which is extracting data, and how then does your company like that also doing somewhat something similar, add value to that? You know, how do you translate what you're getting into, like you say, actionable insights? For instance, you talk about brand sentiment, product sentiment. How do you make that into inform like SEO strategies for marketing, for example?
Good question. So the example that you mentioned is where they track your behavior, what you do. So they track that, you perhaps browse a related product and they serve you with a related product advertisement. This kind of data, this kind of tracking will highly increase your conversion rate because they are targeting you at the relevant stage at the relevant time. Okay. This is a what you do data. So what we focus is the why. Why a buyer persona like you, why does a person like you like this kind of product? So it's a little bit different types of data. The first type of data that you mentioned allows marketer to target to increase conversion. Our type of data allows marketer to create more relatable messaging, more relatable product by understanding what makes you interested. Why do you make such a decisions? I would say both cannot live without the another. So our kind of methodology do not really give you the data that is on the spot, which is what you are doing right now. So there are a lot of different data points out there that a marketer or product owner should still use to follow to increase their targeting. But on top of that, we want to always come to the fundamental. I need to understand the why first. If not, I would be able to use the advertisement to target you, hopefully to increase your conversion rate, right? But if my messaging down there, the text that I use to convince you are not actually what you're thinking, you would still not click on the ads.
In a very highly personalized marketing environment today, how do you feel that marketers can improve when using insights collected from the audience to improve their targeted campaigns? Perhaps some case studies that you have seen in your projects that have yielded very, very good results.
So let me give one specific example. So right now, our consumer behavior has changed, not because we wanted to change it, but our environment where when it comes to pandemic, it has changed. There's a lot of uncertainty, and the uncertainty around our environment lead to uncertainty around our consumer behavior. We thought this year we're coming to stability, right? But then there is also, again, uncertainty at a global level that results in inflation. Food inflation, for example, and that increases a lot more uncertainty. So now it is very tough for business to navigate in the uncertainty area, especially the consumer themselves are keep changing because the environment are keep changing, right? So I would say right now, one of the examples of perhaps the more popular research that we have seen happening on our platform are actually finding out questions like, would opening up the economy in April get people to travel more, to eat out more? Are you currently saving your money? Are you currently being frugal, or are you currently spending like usual? Would you be choosing a brand that you are already using as of now, or are you going to drop a notch and choose a brand that is lower? So question like this, right, allowed the marketers to be agile in the age on uncertainty. Last time, we always said, you know, you need to plan. I'm not against planning, but honestly, within these past 2 years, a lot of plan, we throw out the plan. So we see the importance of having a agile tool for us to, unfortunately, like it or not, react to the market much faster. And there's only one, we only need to be faster than one, which is one angle, which is our competitors. If we can react faster to our consumer than our competitors, we will be one step ahead.
Speaking about change, I remember like 2 years ago, we talked about transitioning to the pandemic phase. Right now, the conversation is about, okay, going back to normal. How has that changed? Yes. You in terms of the types of research that brands are looking for, have what kind of transition are you seeing the past couple of months, especially?
Two types of research that we see spurning up much more frequent than usual. One, buyer persona. So we used to think that we know what our consumer want, we know our customers want. That is being challenged from time to time. In traditionally speaking, usually you don't conduct buyer persona research that quickly. Some companies actually do it once every 2 years, some actually once every 5 years, or bigger companies do it once per year. But now, even smaller brands are doing it as frequent as half a year once because the environment keeps changing. So I would say the first most popular one is buyer persona, understanding what's their preferences. Is their pain point still remain the same, or have their pain point shifted? Is their consideration factor on buying a certain product remain the same or have shifted? Is the pricing point that they can accept the same or have shifted? And secondly, is testing their messaging. So once they collect the latest data about a buyer persona, they wanted to test the messaging. So now I want to speak to about this messaging. Would this messaging relate to our consumer. So you will see that actually, for example, the newer ads, recent New Year ads has been quite different than the ones before COVID. So a lot of them talk about family, talk about health, talk about being together. Last time it's also like that, but this time there's a lot more. Sadness emotions around the ads. Having said that, this year you will notice that the newer ads actually have this fighting spirit, rebounding spirit, as compared to the previous one. Compared to the previous one, it's more on, hey, don't just go into your work, you know, you need to remember your family. But this time around is, you know, it's a tough year, but it will rebound. So this is what we see as the brands are reacting to being empathetic to consumer. Okay, very honest, this kind of empathy, you don't need the research to tell you. However, these are also the types of information that every single brand kind of know already. So they will be using the same cards. Now, if every brand are using the same cards to react to a consumer, there's no one will be standing out. So the key here is we need to know a little bit deeper. We need to know the fundamentals about what is that sad feeling coming from? What is the things that really be relevant to them? And this is where research come in, that is targeted to their own consumer rather than just a generic population.
Speaking about going deeper, the need for deeper intelligence and insights will certainly grow over time. In what ways do you feel that market research have to broaden their processes or even technologies to be able to track data more efficiently, more agile, and to deliver it at, you know, lower cost?
So we see technology could help in a couple of ways. One, integrated the entire process into one. So using our own method, research methodology, there are three key steps. One, we need to design the research to know what is the data we're going to collect. Two, we need to have people answering so that we can collect that data. Third, we need to be able to analyze the research. So there are actually multiple tools in the market that target each part of the process. But what we see is the trend that will stay is where a platform that can integrate all in one. Users right now are having so many different software that sometimes they actually forget their username, they forget their password. So it's increasingly become an attractive notion that what if everything just integrate all in one? You know, I just need to remember one single thing and have all my data in one single place. That's number one. Two, a lot of time, traditionally speaking, research are driven by people, researcher. You always need a person behind the scene to look at the data, to make sense of the data. So technology makes us question, is this the only way? I'm not undermining the people knowledge here, but there's a lot of use cases are quite typical. Do we really need a person to dissect the data every time for every single case study? And from our point of view, the answer is no. We leverage machine learning to actually give our users recommended insights. Recommended insights that could actually give them, without the need to download the data, bring it to Excel, bring it to Tableau, do the charts. But from our platform, they will be able to see the insights that be drawn directly in real time as the data is collecting. We believe this will help tremendously in not just speed to getting the data, but more importantly, speed to getting the insights so people can make the decision as quick as possible. So those are the two key changes that I see technologies can be leveraged to improve market research as a whole.
Are they something that you have been implementing right now, or is it something you're looking to?
Both is something we're implementing. We wanted to implement even further, but right now our platform already are integrated all in one for all these three steps. And we also already leveraging machine learning in terms of giving recommended insights. Having said that, you know, we know all tech still have this limitation. So we do provide researchers support and guidance as well for those who have a much more specific and niche use cases that somehow the current tech can't quite yet make sense of that.
So Vast recently secured a seven-figure seed funding led by an American VC, Indelible Ventures. Congratulations on that. So with that increased backing, what are the plans for Vast?
So right now, seeing where we are currently serving 100 plus companies with our platform.
Or elsewhere?
Sorry? Mainly Malaysia. Okay. Mainly Malaysia. And what we're really ambitious to go towards is we want to be the growing tool for millions of companies across ASEAN. So what we really believe is that right now, everyone, if you ask them, do you want to be data-driven in order to be excel in your work, in your business, everyone will say yes. But if we question a little bit further, how are you currently doing it? A lot of them might be hesitating and not sure. So this is where we see a gap that our platform could be useful. We want to make market research tool as easy as possible for all decision makers. It shouldn't be just data analysts that should be able to use it. It shouldn't be just researcher. A marketer can use it. A product owner can use it. We believe, if I were to use a metaphor, go back to 15 years ago in the advertising market. So that time, let's say social media are just starting, but it's not really rampant yet. How do we do advertising? TV ads, radio ads. For those who don't have budget, we use bunting. We use banner, we use flyer. Do we still remember we use banner? Flyer, right? It says take the flyer off. So that is the time of advertising. Fast forward 15 years now. How do we do advertising? Anyone. My nephew can put in a 10 ringgit on Facebook and run an ads. That's how different it is. And do we think about, I need to be a marketer to run an ads on Facebook? No. People will feel like, I can do it. Everyone can do it. So this is where we believe how market research will be transitioned towards. Right now, it looked like only researcher, only data analyst can do it. But we believe that if we fast forward a decade, everyone will be able to do it with just 10 ringgit.
I can imagine how it was for you and your co-founders when you first started 7 years ago to try to gain the trust from companies who are more used to working with traditional research methods like surveys, flyers and buntings and whatnot. How was it for you? Can you talk to us a bit about that journey of yours?
Wow. You know, you reminded me that, you know, how long we are based in this journey. So when we first started, very honest, like you said, a small company, no one heard of us, skeptical. People are skeptical. We are very grateful to meet a few people who are from big companies. They're just willing to give us a try. We came across as people who are hungry, very motivated, would do everything just to help them with their business goal. I believe that was the reason they gave us a try. And after that, one try become a 3 months project. A 3 months project become a contract of 2 years, some become 4 years, and so on. So what we really believe is the recipe for our journey is that putting customer success first. That's why going back to research shouldn't be something I just help you to collect data, because honestly, there's so many data collection tools, you don't need me. And do you really and collecting data is all about the outcome. So we make sure for us, we are very, very clear of what is the outcome, what is the business decision that you are driving, and we drive with that. That is what I believe is the most important thing that helped us in this journey. And to talk about our ambition, our ambition is to not only allow bigger companies able to use us for strategic decisions, but to allow every types of company, even startups, can use us for tactical decision. That would be the ideal future, I wanted to say.
That's a great story, Julie. And really, thank you so much for your time to speak with me. I don't think I've had that much fun talking about data. It's great because I think there is certainly a market, especially for smaller companies, to have that, like you said, not just collect data, but to give an insight into what to do with this data. So thank you so much, Julie, for coming on the show just to talk to us about that. And best of luck with your plans and your ambitions.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you for having me. Great talking to you.